I'm Jason Stein, publisher of Automotive News, and this is Daily Drive. It's Monday, June 15th. The foggy nature of the auto industry's crystal ball has made navigating today's world harder than usual. Mixed economic signals don't make things any easier. The rapid plunge in car sales has been followed by a faster-than-expected recovery, where some pockets of the country were hot, others were cold, and now most are faring equally well. But is that pent-up demand or fueled by artificial stimulus? Or perhaps both? To be an economist these days requires a stellar stomach for the current roller coaster ride, and that's where we find Cox Automotive Chief Economist Jonathan Smoke, riding the roller coaster and interpreting all signals. From auto finance to transaction pricing to inventory and macroeconomic trends, Jonathan's watching it all. We've reached Jonathan Smoke from his home in Atlanta, Georgia. It is always good to talk to you, Jonathan Smoke. How are you?
I'm great, Jason. How are you?
Doing well, trying to navigate where we are at this time. Now, as we cross over the three-month threshold here in North America, what are you seeing in terms of the status of the sales recovery? What's your latest information?
Well, we continue actually to be impressed by the extent and the speed of this recovery. When all of this first started happening at the end of March and the beginning of April, many were expecting that we likely wouldn't see the bottom until May or June. And it's absolutely clear the bottom was early April, if not the very end of March. And we've had some waves of weeks that the recovery is stronger. But in general, we continue to see momentum in both the new and used markets that has continued. Here we are close to the end of the second week in June, and so far June looks like it's continuing that positive momentum. We may actually see used retail sales in June higher than June 2019, which is just, incredible to think about. But there are clearly challenges, though, for this continuing, and this is really where I'm getting the most questions from, people all across the industry these days. We've got inventory challenges that look very real and very immediate in the new vehicle market. We've got incentives starting to come down as a result of that, which is changing, I think, some of the attractiveness to consumers that have driven a lot of the activity we've seen over the last 2 months in particular. We've got wavering consumer sentiment that's being influenced by the pandemic and increasing cases in some places in the country. But also the social unrest that the country has been dealing with since Memorial Day. The key question a lot of people are focused on, even in the used vehicle market, is has this been a miraculously fast recovery because we had pent-up demand, but now are we using up that pent-up demand and what happens next? And I think all of those questions are appropriate because it's not entirely clear that we know exactly the answer to each of them.
So let's go through a few of those. When we talk about sales and sales momentum, originally, and I would say, the recovery first took hold, it was very geographic in nature. Is that still the case? Are there still pockets that are hotter in certain areas of the country, or is it more widespread?
Well, it's definitely more widespread, no matter how you look at it, because we had extreme divergence even until the very end of April and the beginning of May, because, as you know, there were places that were harder hit, but also there were places that had more severe lockdowns that, quite literally prevented vehicle sales from happening at all. Two of the states that had some of the biggest declines were Michigan, ironically, and Pennsylvania. So, way back at the very beginning of April, we saw a divergence that was some markets in the country flat to slightly up on a year-over-year basis to markets like those I mentioned in Michigan and Pennsylvania that were down 95% or more. We've seen that wide variation narrow dramatically. The worst market in the country was down less than 50% last week, we estimate, and the average market was down only about 10 to 15% But we had over half the markets in the country, we believe, actually sold more vehicles retail, so both new and used, last week than they did in the same week in 2019. So more of those positive markets in every region of the country since places have been able to open up. And there certainly is less of a disparity than we once had.
There was also a lot of concern over the job market having an impact that, okay, the pent-up demand was for those workers who may have been working from home, but certainly not furloughed. But as, again, the 40-plus million Americans on the unemployment line, how will that have an effect over the course of the next few months when you look at the employment situation if those jobs don't come back?
Well, that is, for the economy and certainly then translating into vehicle demand, that is the most important question, because we've had historic job losses in a narrow window of time. You know, the data back in the Great Depression were probably worse, but we don't have great data that tells us by month what the job losses were like and what unemployment was like. The good news is it does look like the jobs recovery started happening faster than most economists were expecting. We had numbers in the May employment report that indicated that close to 3 million jobs had already been recovered, and so we're not digging an even bigger hole. But the problem is that, you know, the most, I believe at this point, accurate forecasts or expectations for the end of the year suggest that we may end this year with an unemployment rate higher than the worst point in the Great Recession, which was 10%. So, you know, my current baseline forecast is making an assumption that the unemployment rate in December is 10.3%. So in the near term, we've seen solid demand because of the stimulus efforts and programs that that have been done from both what the Fed is doing on the monetary side to what Congress and the President worked together to issue stimulus checks to most Americans to enhance unemployment insurance. It basically means that the average household has actually had an increase in income in this period rather than having challenges on that front. But the problem is those benefits start to wane and, in fact, completely expire by the end of July unless something else is done. And so the positive support, which I think has actually helped the vehicle market pretty tremendously to recover like we've seen it recover, potentially turns from a tailwind to a headwind once we get into August and later in the year. And especially if you think about this, jobs recovery is going to be slow going. And a key reason for that slow jobs recovery is just a reflection of the reason for this downturn. You know, we are not out of the woods yet as it relates to COVID-19, and we very likely are going to have businesses of all types, but especially those industries that were most negatively impacted, from travel to services that are high touch. They're not going to be back to normal until we have a vaccine and we have, you know, broadly no more fear of the pandemic. And so as a result, unemployment is likely to be relatively high, and certainly higher than what we had seen for the last several years, for several years even after we start to, you know, have the availability of a vaccine. And so it means more, there's going to be more challenges for the consumer. And I don't think, I am hopeful that there will be another stimulus program that extends like the unemployment benefit enhancement. But there's no question that the government is not going to be able to continue to do that, you know, much longer beyond this year. And that means the kind of damage that we typically see in an economic downturn brought on by increasing unemployment is eventually going to play a bigger role than what we've seen so far, meaning you're going to have more bankruptcies, you're going to have people falling behind on loans, you're going to have an increase in defaults and repossessions of vehicles, those kinds of things that, you know, typically create a lot of challenges and make the credit environment even more difficult for consumers. And so that really puts a damper on super optimistic expectations of demand being robust, certainly in the second half of the year.
Fear is a difficult element to quantify as an economist, I'm sure, correct?
Most definitely. Most human behaviors for an economist are hard to quantify.
Let's talk about inventory. You mentioned that earlier. We've been writing and reading about inventory issues related to primarily the Detroit 3 on full-size pickups and SUVs. What are you seeing and hearing now?
Well, I've been hearing problems with inventory, I think, since the middle of April. I first started hearing it from Chevy dealers who were alert to have challenges in their orders for more Silverados. And now, because of the robust sales that have especially favored pickup trucks in both April and May, you're seeing it kind of across the board. But we also see challenges in some other makes that are having low levels of day supply, and that's a low level of day supply that's factoring in we're only at a 12 million SAR. So what would the supply be if we were at 15 million or higher? And I'm not super optimistic. We've seen some of the manufacturers say that they're going to be full production within weeks. But yet, I think your team is reporting almost daily about some of the challenges that several factories are seeing, whether it be in parts coming from Tier 2 and Tier 3 that have challenges from, challenges in other countries that we're dependent on, for example, like Mexico, where some of the production is challenging for the Silverado, for example, or simply from the issues related to the pandemic that are still ongoing across the country and have workers, uncomfortable with going back without there being substantial, protection protocol changes that help to limit the risk. And I just find that all of those things conspiring to be an environment that production is highly unlikely to be back to full, quote-unquote, full production. Using the kind of safe bet that I had for the economy, until we have a widely available vaccine that gives people more comfort in getting more to a business-as-usual framework. So I think we're going to have challenges on new vehicle supply for the foreseeable future, and it's going to play out somewhat differently, meaning more acute and more immediate for some brands and some models sooner, simply because of the popularity of the vehicles and or the complexity of the supply chain or where those specific factories are located. And actually, if you think about the news that we're hearing this week about the increasing pandemic in many places in the country, a lot of those places that are drawing concerns and alarms have factories that are important to the automotive industry. So, some of those challenges, I think, are going to contribute to this kind of production difficulty.
How about pricing, Jonathan? What are you seeing on, let's talk about three things, pricing and valuation of vehicles, financing, and then consumer credit.
So pricing has been, consistent and stable, whether you're looking at new vehicle prices or used. We certainly have not seen rampant discounting. So even though we had a complete drop in demand, it was more a reflection of showrooms were shut down, dealerships were shut down, and people couldn't get out of their homes. As soon as people were able to, the demand was there. And so as a result, I guess, the good news is we haven't seen weakness in pricing. And you normally do when you're having a traditional kind of economic downturn. And then when you've, on top of that, had really strong incentives on the new vehicle side, that's really helped to increase demand. And we've seen that cascade into the used vehicle market. We did have a period of time where wholesale prices were substantially challenged. But in the last 60 days, we've had the mother of all roller coasters, with the Manheim Index being down, 11 and change percent in the month of April, and then recovering 9% in the month of May. And so as the activity has picked back up, serious buying activity returned to the wholesale market. And that's good news for stability in valuation of vehicles that translate into the residual forecasts that are important for leasing and important for estimating the risk on like loans and the losses that lenders could have. And so in this period that we've had volatility, like in the wholesale prices, you've seen lease penetration fall dramatically. We had a record high in the average lease payment in the month of April, partly in response to what was happening with vehicle values. But now that we're starting to see stability in that, we shouldn't have as much of a challenge. But on the consumer credit side, those factors, as well as just the broader economy and risk, we've definitely seen tightening. And if it wasn't for what the captives have been doing with heavily focus on financial incentives, it would be even clearer that there has been substantial tightening. So we're seeing declines in approval rates across all types of credit tiers. We're seeing the spreads, particularly on lower credit consumers, grow rather than decline. So even though interest rates from a Federal Reserve perspective are cut all the way to zero, the average consumer is not necessarily seeing that. And in fact, the lower credit tier consumers are actually paying a higher interest rate now than they were a year ago as a result. So credit is going to be, you know, the second piece of that unemployment situation that we have to pay very close attention to, because credit could deteriorate, and then we would have more challenges to demand than we necessarily see right now.
Final thing, Jonathan, dealership operations, what are you hearing about the viability of the dealer network overall?
Well, you know, we do our quarterly dealer sentiment surveys together, and we get to spend some time with your team talking about what we're seeing in the responses. And I was astounded, but, you know, ultimately very encouraged by what we saw, particularly with the franchise dealers in the second quarter survey, because number one, they were optimistic about the next 90 days. It would have been very easy to see some pessimism from that group, but the reality was they see opportunity. And rather than seeing them as a group focused on purely trying to survive, instead saw them focusing on improving their operations and improving efficiency and improving the sales process and doing more digital retailing and retaining customers. And so I think the race is on for the better customer experience. And so we as an industry are going to come out of this in better shape. This has been a catalyst to get people to embrace technology and to get people to change some things that consumers have been asking for quite some time. And so I think we're going to come out of this with the best dealers in the country in better shape. And so we'll have more positive things to think about, once we truly get through this this particular crisis.
Well, we'll end on that positive note, because why not end on a positive note, right, Jonathan?
Absolutely.
Great. Thank you so much. We reached Jonathan Smoke from his home in Atlanta, Georgia. And that's Daily Drive from Monday, June 15th. For breaking news, go to autonews.com. And for a library of these stories, go to autonews.com/dailydrive. We'll be back Tuesday.